You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Genesis is there today?
Yeah,
that's right. Yes,
I've never seen Billy get mashed ever.
Wednesdays, he's not here.
I did.
Oh, he is actually.
He is. Yeah,
I did years ago, and I think I may have done it once since she returned. But I've told you this, Tony, and I mean I may as well say it publicly now. I'm always afraid that she's going to squash poop out of me. Because there's just so much pressure applied to the body that I'm like, I'm in so much pain that I'm like, my body's going to think that this is the end and it's just going to like let go of everything.
Is that even,
you know,
physiologically possible?
Yes, it is. The way that the force in which sometimes like you need to get your back stepped on and like the pressure that it puts on your stomach. So I've had this conversation with
I'm more concerned with just been letting a fart rip.
So that's the conversation.
I've come dangerously close with Genesis.
I was
to having it forced
that?
Out of me.
I was like, has anybody farted while you've been working on them? She's like, no. I'm like, that's impossible.
No, it's impossible. It's impossible.
People have been farting for years, probably.
I think there's another guy that does what Genesis does, named Al, who's come by here every once in a while. And I think Dan had him come in once to work on me, and I did let one rip with Al.
What,
I felt
He mashed you.
Silent. It was loud. Wow. It's like it's an involuntary thing. I can't control it.
He mashed you. Used his feet on you.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So there's a lot of like bodily functions that I think like, you know, we should destigmatize because it's like everyone does it. Like it's not, you know, who cares.
Right.
But farting is the one where it's like, no, it actually smells really bad. So it's
gross. It's unpleasant it's unpleasant to do around someone. Like it was awful. Like I hate it. I felt so self-conscious, but like it was completely involuntary. I had no control of my bowels.
You can all
at that
agree
point.
Farts are funny, right?
Is it a compliment or an insult though? Like if you fart, because like one, you're comfortable
great
with
show.
The person, and two, like
it's
they're
a really great
they're
massage.
Doing,
yeah, right.
Yeah, the great massage. Like you're letting it all out.
Yeah, you know? You're really loosening me up so that you know it's just everything is different.
That's a
good
now. Good point, Billy.
Yeah. Oh, and
you know why I love. You know why I love Tony.
What?
You know why I love Tony?
Thanks, Billy.
And I know that people think that we hate each other, and I think Tony does hate me. But you know why I love Tony?
I don't hate
because. When I said I'm always afraid to poop in the massage, and you're like, is that even physiologically possible? Tony's like, absolutely, I know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. Yeah, okay.
I mean,
I thought he was going to Tony top or Tony went up or be like, I shit myself this morning.
I mean, Andre the Giant.
Right,
Andre the Giant stepped on Hulk Hogan and he pooped his pants and admitted it on the show.
That is true.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. The Hulkster.
Sports. It all comes back to sports.
Hollywood Hogan.
Brother.
Hulkamania.
Terry Bollea.
Dangerous game when you have yellow trunks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except, well, half of a dangerous game.
There's really not a lot of hiding in wrestling trunks and boots, is there?
No, that's why you have to wear black,
nowhere to
right?
Go.
Then,
right. Yep.
You know, hard to see.
Based off of Jessica's desire for men to wear short shorts, I feel like I might as well start wearing wrestling trunks.
That would
I feel like that, like that's one, the that's the logical piece? Conclusion. Mm.
Yes, like a one. It's a unitard.
Unitard. Yeah.
No, not a unitard. Like just the regular. Like I look like Randy Orton.
Wear the green Borat one piece.
The banana hammock.
Jeez. But the one that has like the
like the tie on scrubs.
I actually watched the second Borat the other day for the first time. I just for whatever reason not gotten around to it. Huh. When he does that with like the COVID mask, really funny.
Yeah.
There was actually I think a kid from my high school or maybe like a high school near my hometown that wore that Borat thing to a school event
hammock?
And got suspended.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, nothing under?
No.
Just
Billy,
that.
Do you know what we have? What we're talking about?
Yeah. No, I do. Okay. I have.
Nothing would
this
fit
is
going to
sound
that.
Very judgmental. I feel like that was like the I'm not really funny and I don't have a good way of making a joke, so I'm going to wear this to
it's
shock
prop comedy.
People.
It's
shock,
prop comedy.
It's that, shocking. I mean,
in some ways, like Borat was like a generational movie for people. Like I came out when I was like 15 or whatever, and like not only wearing that banana hammock signaled your unfunniness, but he also said very nice, high five. Like
oh,
you were the least funny person on the planet.
Not.
This is my wife.
No, it's true.
A lot
because
of people quoting it in here. So
what's,
I don't know.
You know what?
I've never seen it.
What's even like the funny part? He has a hairy chest, and you see the outline of his dick. And like we're supposed
and it's
to
hairy.
Just be like,
yeah, it's really hairy.
Oh my god, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, when you're in school, it's funny.
I know.
It's
when you are younger, it is very funny. Just
what age was this? Like high school?
For me, it was high school.
When
I was,
did it come out? Witty, can we check?
I was like 2009, in college. Yeah.
No. I mean, like the kid that wore it was in high school.
Oh, it was right when the movie came out. Yeah, it was like a 17-year-old probably.
August the 4th, 2006 for Borat.
Oh, I was out of college. Oh man,
I was in
talking about a 15. We're talking about a 15-year-old movie.
Yeah.
Wait, you had like a 7th grader do that? That's
No, it must have been way after it came out then.
You have to know that you're going to get in trouble if you show up at school
in
that, right?
At a like, Catholic school where like
no one
has a sense of humor and everything's against the rules. Like at my school and looking back, like this it's shocking to me that these rules were allowed. My freshman year, we had uniforms. At my freshman year, girls were allowed to wear knee socks with their skirt. Which is normal, right? Mm-hmm. Like just socks and a skirt. And then my sophomore through senior year, we were no longer allowed to wear socks. We had to wear opaque tights. Could not be sheer tights. Had to be opaque because it was deemed, I guess, too risque or scandalous or whatever for girls who are underage, 14 through 18, to be wearing socks and exposing their knee and their thigh. And then when we had our, if we rolled our skirts to make them shorter, because our skirts weren't actually skirts, they were wool culottes. If we made them any shorter, you had your teacher.
Those two
could
words
send you,
sound terrible. Yeah, sound I completely horrible. Agree with you, Tone. I don't even know what those two words mean,
but they're bad.
Well, I guess I know what wool is.
Culottes.
But wool, like, what is a culotte?
Okay, so culottes. Have you guys ever seen the movie Barb and Star Go to Vista
Del
Mar? Culottes
it was unfortunate. I thought it was going to be funnier.
I thought it was pretty funny. It was
long.
It was very long.
It was
so
long.
I actually thought it was pretty funny. I enjoyed it. It didn't get like any sort of attention or publicity. Yeah, and I think actually Adam McKay maybe might have been one of the producers on it. Anyways, they're wearing culottes. It's like basically really long, wide shorts that actually like they connect in the middle like pants. They're not actually like a skirt, which is just open. Sorry, Billy, go ahead.
No, when I Googled culotte, and when you do it, if you go to like the Wikipedia page of it, it has James Monroe and the U.S. President entry wearing it. Yeah,
of course.
Wow, so
hell to the chief.
It kind of looks like a skirt because it's pleated, but it's not actually a skirt. But if your skirt was deemed your culottes were deemed too short, a teacher could send you to the dean's office, and you could get quote unquote pantsed, which meant for the rest of the year you were not allowed to wear a skirt. You had to wear pants every day.
Wow. But a culotte's not a skirt.
No, a culotte is technically
they're like
shorts.
Big shorts.
They're like giant, oversized, uncomfortable shorts.
They're like Soulja Boy shorts.
They're very wide and with like huge pleats. Yeah. Yeah, so that was high school. Anyways, I would not have worn a banana hammock to school.
I think culotte is probably the word you would most associate with that time in your life.
Yes.
For me, when it came to like middle school, so I went to a school that had uniforms. And we had like once a month a day where you can wear normal clothes called a dress down day.
Yes.
And there was on those days, they were very keen to point out that the girls were not allowed to expose their midriff. That was the terminology.
Oh,
expose
yeah.
your mid, like midriff was like it. I think I see a little midriff there. Like if a girl showed the slightest bit of midriff, it was send them to the office and chuck a uniform on.
I can't even fathom wearing a crop top to the school I went to. And that's probably why I've rebelled now. And every day since I graduated high school, I've worn a crop top. I have never worn a full size shirt since.
When I was in high school, the girls had to wear shorts under their dresses, right? And my algebra teacher enforced that. Vehemently, like he was.
That's weird.
Like he sat down in a chair in front of the class, and he used to slide all the way down, like almost off the chair to see if the girls were wearing shorts. He was actually looking.
That's a crime.
Yeah,
that's really
crime. Don't mention his name.
Yeah, I'm not mentioning.
That's a crime.
I missed it. I didn't even hear the story.
He was basically confer. He was look. Let's move on. What's a mystery crime today?
Good question, Chris. I don't know.
Darth Amin's Rule of Two.
Oh, classic.
On Obi-Wan.
Love that.
Breaking down the Star Wars. Let's hear it.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Darth Amin's Rule of Two. I am Darth Amin, Sith Lord, leading you through our travels to the dark side. As always, I'm accompanied by my apprentice, Anthony Mays, aka Darth Corn Puzzle.
Yo, yo, we've been a little too aggressive, but the goal is to defend Star Wars rather than to crush it in a podcast.
There is no podcasting without crushing, Mays. I thought you knew that. Episode 5 of Obi-Wan Kenobi. We get the episode that I think many of us hope what this series was going to be about. A bunch of metaphors and flashbacks. Vader almost catching Obi-Wan, but not quite. Getting outsmarted and outguiled. This is what I thought the entire series was going to be, Maze.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, if the scene on Mapuzo doesn't happen, how much of the stuff I've been critical about throughout this series am I willing to just let go or explain away or accept in the same way that the things in Book of Boba Fett that I didn't enjoy, the things in Mandalorian I didn't enjoy, I didn't let them stop me from enjoying the series because at the end of the day, I felt like they were trivial. Some kids on some mopeds. It's annoying and stupid and incongruent, but it didn't ruin, I thought, the story. The duel between, well, I can't even call it a duel. The ass whooping on Mapuzo, to me, ruined the story. And if you cut that out, like if you literally have Vader show up, kill all the locals, and Obi-Wan kind of scurry away and hide like a coward, I think I'm very happy with this series. How do you feel, Maze?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to me about this episode that was so great was the flashback scene, which is how the episode starts on Coruscant and the training, the sparring between Master and Padawan. And what they were able to do in that flashback scene was to very smartly incorporate the lessons that were featured in A New Hope and that were incorporated into this episode. Go back and tailor it to what you're trying to tell. The story that you're trying to tell. I do not understand for the life of me why we haven't had more flashbacks than that one.
I think I know. And ironically, the giveaway was also this episode, which I think we both enjoyed. Based on a lot of the cheapness of the CGI and the effects and the backgrounds and even the sets, Maze, I think this is a money thing. I think they couldn't afford to do a bunch of flashbacks. And it's the reason why it's not a movie. It went from being a movie to being a TV series. I think there's like some budgetary things that are at work here. But we open with this sweeping view of Coruscant that looks like it was painted. It looked more realistic in Clone Wars. But again, I said this is what the entire series should have been. Flashbacks and corollaries between the past and the present. By the way, we know from how Hayden Christensen appears and how Obi-Wan appears, this is all from early in Attack of the Clones or perhaps before Attack of the Clones. So this is before the Clone War. Anakin is still a Padawan. He's got the little braid in the back. He also has both of his natural human hands. Obi-Wan has his weird hair that was kind of a questionable decision for episode 2. One thing was really, really cool about this. It opens with Anakin staring out at the skyline. Mm-hmm. What he's staring at is Padme's apartment building.
Ah, yes. Young lust.
He is horny, which I should probably retire for a week or two. Mm. Now we cut back to the present. Third Sister shows up on the Devastator. That's Darth Vader's Star Destroyer. And she's kissing a lot of ass. He's kissing a lot of ass, but he hasn't had the ass kissing. But because she says the tracker worked, he promotes her to Grand Inquisitor.
Premature promotion. Literally put a pin in that, I mean.
Yes, very witty there. He's also standing on the bridge of the Devastator, which is exactly where in The Empire Strikes Back when he's addressing the bounty hunters. Mm-hmm. You've got those two pits on either side where the little worker bees are working. And in Empire Strikes Back, that's when one of the guys catches feelings like, bounty hunters, we don't need their kind of scum here. That was a very cool little throwback there. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan and the crew land on Jabim in a cave that reminds me a lot of the Rebel base on Crait from Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. Maze. I don't know if you got those vibes as well, especially once the siege begins.
Definitely.
Kumail is back.
He's back. I was wrong.
And he's funny, but damn, they shoehorned the hell out of him in here.
Hey, Kumail, you want to hang out and babysit Leia for an episode? Take Obi-Wan off of that and have him do some other stuff so someone else has to watch Leia. You available?
The Empire hunted me down, so I had nowhere else to go. Also, this is how it feels to be a Jedi. I'm like, okay, you guys are... This is like when the Harlem Globetrotters showed up on Scooby-Doo. Let's just shoehorn everybody anywhere. People are like, oh, where would you have him be? The Outer Rim. That's where everybody goes to get lost. It's where, you know, the Empire is not as present, and also, they don't care as much about the Outer Rim. Go to Jakku. Go to Nal Hutta. Anywhere. They are organizing an evacuation of the planet. This is Ice Cube Jr., a.k.a. Roken, who's in charge of that, trying to get everyone to get ready to leave.
There's the great part where he gets off the ship and he says, ladies and gentlemen, we got her.
Ah, yes.
Here's all the people that we were wondering where they were at last episode.
Yeah.
They didn't have the budget, I guess, to bring everybody in for 2 different days.
I'm telling you, man. It's like they have one day of extras that they could pay for. Vader tells Third Sister to lock down the facility. She says, wait a second. If you lock them down, then they can hole in there and might be days before we can break them. And he says, it's not them we need to break. Talking about Obi-Wan, because
yes,
he knows his old master well. Obi-Wan is in the caves. He's reading these etchings. I looked it up and someone had it translated. It's a bunch of Kilroy was here type etchings from different Jedi. Mm-hmm. Many of them from the expanded universe, from Star Wars Legends. So this is for people who read the books and stuff. I didn't, but for people who read the books, it's very exciting because some of the characters from Legends are now canon because they were here and it's all inspirational stuff.
No actual Jedis are there.
Nope.
And we see the box of lightsabers. So it's clear that essentially they turn in their gear and they go back to being a civilian and then they disperse themselves throughout the universe somewhere.
Or that's some of the fallen ones, right? That for whatever reason they collected. Everywhere I looked, no one recognized any of the lightsabers. It didn't look like anyone from the Clone Wars or from Rebels or anything like that. However, one source says that he thinks two of them look like the lightsabers for Barriss Offee. Barriss Offee, if you remember, Maze, in the Clone Wars, when the Jedi Temple was bombed and they accused Ahsoka and they had all this evidence that it was Ahsoka, and then it turns out it was Ahsoka's best friend, Barriss Offee. And Barriss Offee was one of the early ones to say the Jedi are corrupt, and basically she went all QAnon on them. And that's why she bombed the Jedi Temple. As a result, of course, that's what led Ahsoka to leaving the Jedi. If you're wondering why Ahsoka's not a Jedi, that's why. Because they accused her of something, that she a crime she didn't commit. The only person that believed in her was Anakin. Everybody thought she did it. And so she basically, even though Barriss was guilty of it, she began to believe, as Barriss did, that the Jedi are corrupt and they had nothing for her.
Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you barbecue Texas style or just celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling, so you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. This is Mike Fuentes here, and let me tell you, There's nothing like grilling. I'm not really a smoke guy. Smoking requires a lot more equipment, a lot more time to do it right. Will I go down to the local barbecue spot every now and then and pick up some brisket? Yeah, I'm not an animal. Get a little charcoal at the house, grill it up. The boys come over. You do whatever you can to beat the heat living down here in South Florida. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. It tastes as great as your barbecue. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The light beer with the most taste. Less filling and only 96 calories. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling just doesn't taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Lola sabotages the facility and locks them in. An Imperial Destroyer shows up. Obi-Wan gives an Anakin scouting report.
He only goes left. Force him to his right hand. Oh, wait. No, sorry. He'll attack next. He has no patience for a siege. How do you know? How about some flashback exposition? Obi-Wan warns him he's being too aggressive. The Jedi goal is to defend life rather than to kill. And Anakin says, mercy doesn't defeat an enemy, master.
Very reminiscent of Fallen Order, where Cal Kestis has all these flashbacks of training with his master, Jorah Topal, where everything that's happening to him in the present reminds him, oh yeah, that's right. There's that time I was sparring with Jorah Topal. There's a time that Jorah Topal was teaching me how to force him. Much like this in the game, as you progress towards the end, your memories of Jorah Topal progress as well. So I thought that was a nice way for them to do it, which they would have done the whole time. Vader sends in the ground assault. Obi-Wan gives a speech, riling up everybody, basically telling them, hey, man, if we get this done, we'll be out of here by the time they get in and no one will get hurt. He asks Ice Cube Jr. how long to get this thing open. 3 to 4 hours just to open it? Come on, man. What are you doing?
Hey, man. Maybe Roken was working in the Spurs arena.
For real.
During game one of the NBA Finals.
Check out Basketball Illuminati from this week if you haven't. Just ridiculousness. Obi-Wan, here's 3 to 4 hours, goes, you have 1 hour. What?
This is one of the classic tropes here. Just tell him that he has an hour. Why do this setup?
Right.
And he doesn't even really have an hour.
They're here.
It's like as soon as possible type situation, bro.
Stormtroopers set up for the siege. This set design is horrendous. I mean, as cheap gets. And I just kept thinking, I'm not comparing this to the movies. I'm just saying, compare it to The Mandalorian? Y'all didn't even get Mandalorian budget? Come on, man. Why wouldn't they spend money on this show, I ask. In my notes. They literally couldn't be bothered to draw on the blaster bolt from the turbo laser, battering ram, whatever the hell you want to call it, trying to crack the blast door.
Yeah, they're essentially set up in a crater, in a rock.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the volume is that once you know what you're looking for, it's basically you're looking for a big circle.
Yeah.
So the Coruscant flashback, big circle.
Right.
This scene, big circle. They just have a bunch of guys standing around, and I guess we're supposed to be intimidated. So they just start blasting the door.
They try to open the hangar doors. It doesn't work. Haja says, that was underwhelming. I laughed.
Roken can't fit in the vent. Guess who's the right size to do that job? I mean, you guessed it. Princess Leia.
Princess Leia.
Get her a ladder, I mean. And Obi-Wan trusts her, so do what she asks.
And I said, what has she done to earn the trust of Obi-Wan in a situation like this? What in their experience is like, no, she knows what she's doing.
I mean, what are you talking about? They've had such amazing travels and adventures together.
Yes, none of it having to do with her having any sort of expertise with electronics or fixing things or building things or anything.
Yeah, it reminded me of that meme that was on Twitter in the last year where there's that guy looking at the electrical box.
Yeah.
And he's got that pose where he has no idea what he's doing. That's Leia.
They're like jeans and Tim's and yeah. He's got a little helmet on.
Exactly.
Again, you guys have her with this stupid little sidekick droid. Have her fixing it. Have her diddling with it the whole time. They don't do that once. So I was like, oh, it's like a puppy with her. And all of a sudden, we're supposed to buy. She knows how to, as a 10-year-old. So I was like, oh, well, Anakin built. Anakin the whole time as a child, you knew he was a prodigy. Hell, even Luke was kind of dicking around with stuff and fixing things and using his hands, which would make sense because he's a farmhand. And she's a freaking princess. Just terrible. Trying to just write in and I help.
What's Leia gonna do this episode?
Yeah.
Obi-Wan gets a voicemail on his holo projector.
The most incriminating voicemail ever with so much descriptive detail.
I wonder if that's gonna come back. I mean,
I'm sure that won't be an issue later, is what I wrote.
He's saying, I know you said don't call, but can you give me an update? Because I'm freaking out over here.
If it was just that, it'd be cool. But he's just like, I'm going to go to your address, 123 yep. Main Street.
I'll pick up the key that's under the mat, right? Or the fake rock on the left. That's where you keep it. What's your roommate's name? Owen?
It's horrible bosses, too. It's you, me, and him, not you, me, and him, and the NSA. Like, come on, man. You guys have to do better. You can't be that lazy with it. Game of Thrones gives us some character exposition that no one asked for.
They take some time to have a heart-to-heart here as they're under siege.
He didn't ask her. It's not like he started talking about his life and she started talking about her life. It's like, yeah, we're doing things, da-da-da-da. Yeah. It reminds me of Tony Baker's fictional villain saga where it's like he talks about stealing the water supply. It's like every villain has a backstory. It's like, yeah, I once was like that. And like, no one asked you. But in her little exposition, she mentioned that she was stationed on Garel. Garel was a planet that was featured very heavily on Star Wars Rebels. The Phoenix unit was based out of there, the Rebellion. That's the original people that the Ghost Crew, which is Ezra, Kanan, and Sabine, and Hera, they get in contact with the Rebellion, the official Rebellion, the first time through the Phoenix Squadron, who were based in Garel. And so the first mention we get in Rebels, they're on a side mission to steal rifles for the crime boss, Visago. I don't know, Visago's not a crime boss, but like, you get what I'm doing. He's one of those like little small-time crooks. They get the Imperial rifles destroyed because they were going to head towards the front lines of the war. Throughout the series, they keep going back to Garel. I thought that was nice. You guys have thrown actual Easter egg as opposed to just exposition. Ice Cube Jr. comes out with the crossbow that Chewbacca has.
Yeah, the bowcaster.
Kenobi wants a parlay with Reva. Don't see why she would ever accept, but she does.
Yep.
They get to talking, and he asks her how she knew who Vader was, that Vader was Anakin. And then he kind of does the math. It's like the only way you would have known, you'd have to have been alive for it, which I thought was a very cute way of saying black don't crack, because he was kind of surprised that she was old enough to have been a youngling during Order 66.
Oh, man. Two galaxies, you know what I'm saying to me? Yeah.
Exactly. And so we get some flashbacks position of her witnessing the slaughter.
Wow, we got that one. Check that one off. She was at the temple. She had to play dead in order to get out of there. And Obi-Wan realizes you're not serving him. You're hunting him, talking about Darth Vader.
And I sent a text to Maze while I was watching this, and I said, film noir.
Oh, and I had to say, which one?
Oh, spoiler alert, future callback there. She demands to know where Obi-Wan was during Order 66, which I thought was a very good nuance to include there, because she's so pissed at him the whole series. And we're like, why are you pissed at Obi-Wan? And I was like, of course. She's like, you were supposed to be there. You're supposed to protect us. And not only that, she hit him with the same line that Owen hit him in episode one.
Yep.
He trained his father. This is all your fault, Obi-Wan.
Valid questions that, of course, Obi-Wan does not answer.
Of course, because he's a piece of shit, as we've established time and time again. Cracks the door open with her lightsaber. The doors are open. He uses the force to force push the shit out of her. She falls back a little cartoonishly. It looked very Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the way she kind of just floated backwards.
Or like in Shang-Chi when they had that fight at the beginning. There's a lot of sliding along the ground.
Then the combat begins, and I have a note here that says there's a lot of point-blank shooting. A
lot of shooting.
But not a lot of point-blank making.
It's like Jason Tatum at the rim. It's really terrible. And then there's the dramatic scene in the tunnel, because obviously the stormtroopers, there's a lot more of them, so they advance. Jabeam, people retreat. Obi-Wan's yelling in slow motion. Tala goes down.
Why are we putting Game of Thrones in scenes to do action stuff that she physically can't do? Like pulling the stormtrooper down. Like she's shooting, and then there's a stormtrooper, and she like, yeah.
She guided the stormtrooper down to the ground there, gently.
Hey, guys, can we just rewrite this so that she shoots him and he falls over? So you don't have to pull him down. I'm not trying to be misogynistic here. In theory, absolutely, it would be cool if she tugged him down like that. But this actress, I'm breaking the fourth wall, is incapable of pulling off that action move. So maybe just not have it. I don't need it. Again, it's just some of the weird decision-making in the filmmaking here. She gets hit. Obi-Wan says her name about 3 million times in slow motion.
As he fights two stormtroopers with a lightsaber.
Loader droid Ned One also is getting shot up. Now he's almost decommissioned on top of her to kind of shield her from the blast, but of course, alas, it's too late. And she looks at him and he looks at her, and I said, tension? Did you catch any of that?
What do you think she was doing with that droid all alone?
Yeah, Loader. He barely even knows her. She pulls out the thermal detonator.
Why does she hold up the thermal detonator like the ooze and not throw it?
Ooze.
Why doesn't she throw it? What is she thinking? The robot is half on top of her, and then she just holds it, so she's going to blow herself up. She's going to blow the robot up. You know who she's not going to blow up? Anybody else.
Like any Stugatz in the world, it's important that she shows it to Obi-Wan so she gets the credit. Hey, look. See this? See what I'm doing? Throwing my life away.
You all see that I am the one who had the thermal detonator.
We had this funny exchange where Ice Cube Jr. asks Kumail, is she close? And he says, Leia, are we close? She yells back, working on it. And he says, she's working on it. I don't know why. That exchange made me laugh. It seemed very calm in the middle of people dying.
That's two laughs at Kumail lines from you.
He's been good at this series.
So I guess he did his job. It was a strange job to ask him to do, but he did it.
Exactly. Vader orders Reva to stand down.
Kenobi is already ours.
Flashback to Anakin whooping Obi-Wan's ass in this sparring duel. And he says, you're beaten. And I was like, oh, that's like on the Cloud City, him and Luke after he's severed his arm. Also, right before that, when he's going crazy hack-a-shack on the lightsaber, that is very strong Return of the Jedi vibes of what Luke would do to him as he's kind of on one knee and Luke's hacking away. So nice little nods there, homages. Flash forward to Obi-Wan realizing he has to surrender because he's the one they want. Now, this is a very important scene here, Maze.
Yep.
He hands Haja his lightsaber, his blaster, and the comlink to call Bail Organa.
Here, take my phone. Then Roken asks Kenobi how he's going to fight Vader without a weapon, prompting Kenobi to reply that there are other ways to fight a man.
Future callback to A New Hope when he says there are alternatives to fighting when they're on the Death Star.
Right before he fights Vader.
Exactly.
The stormtroopers bring Obi-Wan to Reva. She says, Vader's on his way. You're going to die soon. Obi-Wan flips it on her. You're not bringing him to me. I'm bringing him to you. Which is a line that sounds like Rorschach in Watchmen tells people in prison that he's not locked up in jail with them. They're locked up in jail with him. It's all about perspective.
He tries to appeal to her and join forces with him by telling her there are kids here and we can avoid another slaughter. So let's work together. How do you figure like Vader won't see it coming? And Obi-Wan, in all humility and humbleness, says, because I'm all he sees, baby.
He'll be too busy thinking about me to think about you. So let me get this straight, Amin. That worked. That was all she needed.
That convinced her, because at that moment, we didn't know that it convinced her, but they did the very weird thing. I'm like, okay, take him back inside. These two stormtroopers, as opposed to keeping them out here.
You two stormtroopers, you got this.
And by the way, did you notice he killed the purge trooper like very quickly and very easily?
Oh, yeah. So much for their toughness.
Guys, you had one of them. I get it. You didn't have a budget to make more of these. I would have taken a little badass duel between him and the purge trooper over a lot of stuff that they've wasted time with in this series. But anyways, they take him back inside. I said, why are they taking him back inside? Future callback, we'll figure out why. Flashback to Anakin and Obi-Wan. Anakin disarms Obi-Wan, and this is where he says, there, it's over. Obi-Wan says, your need for victory, Anakin, it blinds you. And I said, foreshadow!
Character trait!
Obi-Wan, of course, escapes very easily from the two stormtroopers that have him in restraints, by the way. That was the other thing. Like, how do you get the handcuffs off? I guess you could use the force.
Like Joe Bluth. He's a magician.
That's a neat trick.
Tricks are what whores do for money. This is the force!
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Lola attacks Leia and I'm happy until she removes the restraining bolt.
Aww. Yeah.
Restraining bolts are this thing that they put on droids that limit their autonomy and makes them do what you tell them to do. R2 had a restraining bolt on him in A New Hope.
The Jawas put one on him.
Yeah. So when they took it off, that's how he was able to play Leia's message. Vader arrives and she tells him, oh, he's inside. And he walks in and he sees a bunch of dead stormtroopers. And then he walks a little faster. I think he knows, like, oh, Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, the transport tries to peace out. And Vader comes in and he uses the force to ground it. The CGI is bad, but this is pretty badass.
Oh, it's super cool.
This apparently was something that Starkiller did in the Force Unleashed video game, which is not canon.
A lot of video game inspiration this season.
Yep. Also, Rise of Skywalker did this as well with Rey, but she kind of tore the ship apart accidentally rather than grounding it. Vader grounds it, and then he tears the hull out, and it reveals nothing inside. Meanwhile, a second transport escapes.
Film noir!
Film noir! But Maze, I won't lie, man. When he grounded it and ripped out that hull, I thought he was going to go ape shit on all these little people. Remember what I said, like, you can't have a massive group of force sensitive people just hanging out. But I guess now it makes sense based on the etchings that they don't hang out there, that even Jabim is a way station for them to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I thought it was super cool. And then they just sneak right past. I guess he would be tired from doing that.
Tired, drained a little bit, because you can hear him strenuously having to do that. But also, it happened so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan flashback, and he steals the lightsaber from Anakin after Anakin told him it was over. Basically calls him a little Padawan bitch. Don't you ever in your motherfucking life forget and disrespect me, you little bitch-ass motherfucker.
Sound like Luther the Anger Translator. He said, you're a great warrior, but your need to prove yourself is your undoing. Counsels him to overcome this desire in order to progress from being a Padawan. This is the master learner exposition we have needed throughout. And then, like you've already said, all of this is more powerful if they haven't already fought in this show.
Absolutely. Vader, we're shown, is apparently remembering this very lesson as he's watching the ship peace out on him. Meanwhile, Reva creeps up from behind and tries to kill him.
He was wise to use you against me.
This, to me, is cool.
Absolutely.
I would have taken 100 episodes more of just shit like this, where Vader literally fights her. He doesn't even bother taking out the lightsaber.
Nope.
He just uses the force. He's slapping her around. He's moving. He's holding her thing. And then first she goes one blade.
We get to see all of the permutations of the Inquisitor lightsaber. Double blade, spinning blade, and then he breaks it in half. So we get the split blade.
He doesn't break it in half. So it's a weird thing. The hilt is the thing that has the circular thing, and it has two outputs right there. So what he does is he just pulls the two lightsabers out of the circular hilt and holds it very Ahsoka style. Did you get that vibe as well?
Mm-hmm.
When he's got the two lightsabers in his hands, him slowing down the spin of the blade was pretty cool.
This was a great fight. I loved it.
This was one of the coolest things they've done.
Especially because he was just toying with her the entire time.
Oh yeah. It hammers home. The Inquisitors aren't Sith. They're former Jedi, force sensitive types who are trained in combat and are good at kicking ass of people who have been disconnected from the Force. You're not going to fight Darth Vader. You're not even close. And he makes it very apparent, or he throws one of the lightsabers at her and then proceeds to beat her ass.
Oh, yeah.
She has flashbacks to Order 66 when he stabs her, as he does in real life, almost simultaneous. And everyone I read up on and listened to, they're like, oh, it's shot so weird or whatever. But Maze, I think I know why it was edited the way it was edited.
What's that?
The beginning of the episode, they have a disclaimer that says there are certain scenes that might be distressing. And I think, this is just my opinion. This is now, I haven't talked to anybody now. I don't know anything. But in a very serious way, I think it was edited because of the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, they put a disclaimer on this season of Stranger Things as well, because the opening scene of Stranger Things is a flashback to a lot of violence. So I think that's very possible.
And this was the only episode we've had that disclaimer on. And there's nothing else in the episode that objectionable or even raises above the level of violence that we've seen throughout this series and throughout all of Star Wars. But this, especially the way it was cut, just felt a little janky, because at first I was like, oh, why did he spare her in Order 66? And I'm like, oh, he didn't. He stabbed her and she just pretended she played dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's stabbed. She's on the ground. And Vader does his usual tough guy talk that he does after.
Did you really believe it? I did not see it, youngling. You are of no further use.
Hearing him say youngling, I think that's the first time I've heard Vader say youngling. He got goosebumps. And then, of course, here's one more film. Who should walk up but the Grand Inquisitor and Maze? He is acting his ass off.
Talking so much shit.
Oh, my God.
Revenge does wonders for the will to live, don't you think? Your rage was useful, but has now become tiresome, and he gets his damn pin back. That's mine. I'll leave you in the gutter. Where we found you, where you belong. Of course, they don't double tap or finish the kill.
Nope. She's still alive. She starts crawling for her saber hilt, circular spinny thing. And that's when she sees the comlink. And I said, great job, Haja. You had one freaking job to do. You had one thing to do, dude.
Yeah, not great, Bob.
Come on, bro. What are you doing?
And the message is a little choppy, but it's just the crucial parts.
All the exposition.
Tatooine. Boy. Owen.
Meanwhile, Obi-Wan feels a tremor in the Force.
Does he feel a tremor in the Force, or does he just realize that he lost his phone? I mean, we've all been there before, right? You check your pockets and you say, oh man, where is it?
I lost my house keys in the hotel room in San Francisco during these finals right now, the NBA finals. And I've definitely felt it, because when I got to the airport, I reached in my pocket and I'm like, I hear something jingling, but that doesn't feel like keys. And it turned out to be coins. No, it was a tremor in the Force, Maze, because if it was him realizing he left his phone, it would have been like, yo, Haji, yo, you got my shit, by the way? Like, yeah, I got you. Oh. Instead, it's just like him realizing, absent anything, he's asked, is everything okay? And he's like, yeah, everything's fine. I'm sure it's fine. But he realizes, I've made a terrible mistake.
Thanks for running with my joke there. I mean, appreciate it.
Cut to Tatooine and the Lars Ranch, and bingo, Luke is sleeping. He hasn't even done anything, Maze. Just the way he slept, I could feel it. I feel it. It's going to be me. That's episode 5. We've got one more episode, Maze. Now, let me tell you a very interesting theory.
Please.
Apparently, the 6-episode arc is made on purpose to mirror the 6 movies of the prequels in the original trilogy. Here's how. Episode 1, Phantom Menace, episode 1 of this, they find a precocious youngster and we're introduced to the main villain. Episode 2, Obi-Wan discovers there's a plot and has to do some investigating. Episode 3, Obi-Wan fights Vader. Episode 4.
They break out Princess Leia.
From an Imperial facility. Episode 5. When everything looks like it's darkest and everything's about to fall apart.
Vader whoops someone's ass.
And now.
Episode 6. Obi-Wan is going to appeal to Darth Vader and turn him, right?
Or Reva. Maybe Reva turns to the light.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit of a stretch, but okay.
When I heard that, I was like, not mad. It doesn't feel like that much of a stretch. And it makes sense, because I remember thinking, why are there 6 episodes? Why 6? Especially when they're not the same length.
6 is the Disney Plus model.
Oh, is it?
Moon Knight, 6 episodes. Loki, 6 episodes. Hawkeye, 6 episodes. I'm sure Miss Marvel is 6 episodes.
So, Maze, we got 1 episode left. Is it possible that this is the master learner thing and we're not going to have to get an explicit second fight between Vader and Kenobi?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They're definitely going to fight again.
Is it me, or do you think they just felt there's no way we can do this and have Darth Vader and have Hayden Christensen and not have them meet and fight and interact.
As we said in the third episode recap, it was too juicy for the creators. I think they would feel more upset if they didn't do it. If they had a show for six episodes with Obi-Wan and Vader and they didn't fight. First time he got absolutely dusted. I guess his force powers are fully back now. We got him pushing her and we got some more lightsaber work. I guess he's back in playing shape. But the more important thing is going to be what we saw in that flashback, which is he's going to do something crafty. It's not going to be a brute strength thing because that's Vader's whole thing. Attack, attack, attack. Obi-Wan is going to do something clever. And here, I don't think it's clever enough for Darth Vader to walk away from this encounter going, he got me again. Oh, that Obi-Wan, he really knows his ways around the Force. There's got to be something better. And I think that it's possible they do something really cool. I am curious as to what that is going to be. I don't think they can have Vader on Tatooine, though, right? I mean,
it's bad enough what they've already done. To have Vader on Tatooine, now you're really pushing it.
So what is Reva going to do? Is she going to go to Tatooine by herself? It seems like she's pretty out of the Inquisitor-Vader dynamic. So it doesn't seem like she'd go to them with the info and try to get back in the good graces.
What would that information do to help her?
Maybe she thinks if she goes and gets the kid and then she'd go back to Vader and Obi-Wan's gonna intercept.
She's trying to kill Vader. I just don't understand. He's already figured that out. So it's like, you're not gonna sneak up on him twice. In essence, her whole life was a prelude to that moment. Her whole life was so that she could get that one opportunity to get close enough with him. Especially as Grand Inquisitor, you'd have a lot of access to Vader to catch him sleeping and take care of him then. She had her shot and she blew it. So now I don't know what else she can do. It's not like, hey, man, remember when I tried to kill you? My bad. Hey, I found this kid on Tatooine, by the way. It might be yours. Yeah, just go ahead and take a look right now. Ah, I got you a little. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, there's just some things. Now we're really at the point where we're boxed in by what we know happens, right? They're not actually going to get to Luke because Luke has no clue.
Exactly. Luke has no clue. Then again, Leia has convenient amnesia.
Obi-Wan isn't going to fight in front of him. It's very doubtful that Reva or anyone would be able to kidnap him.
If you haven't watched Star Wars Rebels and you intend to, this is a big spoiler here. 3, 2, 1. It has to be a situation like in Rebels when Maul finally dies for real. So Maul tracks down Obi-Wan, finds him like at a campfire in the middle of the Dune Sea in Tatooine. Maul's whole life has been an exact revenge on two people, Kenobi and Sidious, right? Mm-hmm. And so, all right, let's do it, old man. Like, yo, look at you. You're pathetic. You're just an old man. So we get a very dramatic buildup and the fight happens very quickly. I believe it's modeled after one of Kurosawa's movies. So as he's dying in Ben Kenobi's arms, he says, why are you here? And he's like, you're protecting someone. You're protecting, oh, it's the chosen one, meaning Luke. And he's like, is it real? Is he really the chosen one? And Obi-Wan says, yeah, pretty much. And then he dies, right? And so Luke obviously never knows any of that is happening. It would have to be a situation like that, I think, for them to get away with it. The other thing, obviously, Vader cannot know. We know for a fact in canon, Vader doesn't even know in A New Hope that that's his son because Palpatine lied to him. Palpatine told him, Padme died, you killed her, and you killed, obviously, the baby that was inside. He didn't know she was pregnant with twins. He didn't know that she survived. He didn't know that she gave birth before dying. So he doesn't find out that the kid who, the Force is strong in this one, who blows up the Death Star, that's his son. He doesn't find out until after A New Hope, but before Empire Strikes Back.
Right. So that means that Reva has this information, but she's not going to get it to Vader. So I think Reva's headed to Tatooine for some reason. Obi-Wan's going to have to go there. Maybe they team up because there's going to be a final confrontation with Vader somewhere. Reva's probably going to die and Obi-Wan and Vader are both going to walk away. And he's going to take her back to Bail Organa and drop her off after the whirlwind week across the galaxy. Oof,
ambitious. Very ambitious. Okay, let me end it on this note because we're going to end it on a positive note. What was your favorite part of this episode?
As I said at the beginning, it's the flashback training with Obi-Wan and Anakin. It shaded in some character depth that we really needed. It set the tone for this episode. It really set the tone for the entire existence of this series. I wanted more of it from the jump, but I'm glad that they included it here, and it really worked well.
My favorite part was him fighting Reva. I enjoyed the fact that I've seen Vader now fight so many different people through Star Wars. He fought Luke, and he fought Obi-Wan, and he fought Obi-Wan again, and he fought again Obi-Wan thanks to this thing, and he fought Ahsoka. You know, Ahsoka's probably the person who's ever done the best fighting him, other than Obi-Wan that one time, and obviously Luke that other time. Oh, and the Kanan Jarrus as well, Kanan and Ezra at the same time. It reminded me when Kanan and Ezra fought him, he was similarly just toying with them. Kanan got thrown away and Ezra was by himself. It was really obvious, right? Where Ezra pulls out a lightsaber and Vader's just like, I'm going to just make you kill yourself. He almost ends up cutting his own head off until Kanan jumps in and then they fight, whatever. I love the idea that, oh yeah, you're not on that level. You are not on that level. You're a youngling. You had a little stupid helmet on. You're nowhere near capable of fighting. And I'm not even gonna waste time taking out my lightsaber. I'm not even gonna use my lightsaber. I'm gonna use the Force. And then when I'm bored of doing that, I'm gonna take your lightsaber. And instead of just ending it, I'm gonna give you half of your lightsaber. Let's go. Let's do. I mean, just for shits and giggles. Let's see where it goes. That was, I thought was really, really cool.
You are a Sith Lord after all, so that tracks.
That's gonna do it for this episode of Rule of Two. Next week, it's gonna be the last episode until we get Andor that comes out later this summer. Thanks again, my apprentice Anthony Mays. Thank you, listeners. Remember, your need for victory, it blinds you.
Do you like Star Wars and any of that or no?
Yes, I do.
Really? So have you been watching this show?
Yeah, I'm up to date.
Well, so what the fuck? Why doesn't Amin talk to you?
Amin don't even answer my text messages.
Classic.
Except whenever he says a boo-boo on air.
Do we want to reveal the boo-boo post?
Classic one-way phone situation. It only works when you need something.
Exactly.
Juju, who else does that other than Amin? Let's name some names, point some fingers.
I think it'd be easier to say who doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, who doesn't do that then?
I love all of you guys. new leaf, new year, new me. I'm keeping it.
It's new year.
It's June.
We literally could probably couldn't be closer to the middle of the year.
The mid-season
finale. I
start my
year when I want to restart my year.
That's right. Listen, who decided what January 1st is? You know what I mean?
Well, you know what?
Gentiles.
I completely agree. Because I've complained on this show
Julius
about
Caesar.
New Year's resolutions. And so why don't we do June 15th resolutions?
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Witty, you were supposed to learn something new every day, and we are way behind.
We're way behind.
So behind. Yeah.
I will say.
You tell us anything that you've learned.
Yeah.
Well, I revealed one the other day on the Lebatard show when I said that I learned what the percentage in a weather forecast means.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a genuine discovery.
That is a shocking one, right? Because it's the percentage of your area.
Of the geographical area.
Yes.
That's going to get hit by rain, not the percentage chance that you walk out the door and rain strikes.
Exactly.
You.
Apparently in Australia, they have their forecasts are like phrased differently, so it explains that better. Whereas like in America, they don't. And so everyone walks around assuming it means like, oh, there's a 50% chance of rain, but it's actually like 50% of Miami is going to get rain.
Why doesn't big weather do more to clarify that to us?
Because they don't want.
Why don't we have like meteorology class in school, like a little seminar?
Class should not be meteorology. I think every semester, every kid should take a class called Shit You Should Know. And it's like, it's like one day you show up, it's like, hey, we're going to learn how to start a barbecue today.
A barbecue.
You, okay. you don't know how to start a barbecue?
Start
no,
a
I'm saying
business,
somebody eventually told me, but yeah. like, just like those are random life skills
yeah.
that one wouldn't know, well, and you just have to acquire this
go
knowledge
out to the
somehow.
Parking lot, guys, we're going to go change a tire. Let's
right,
go,
Right, exactly, exactly. Billy, today we show up, it's change a tire day.
Mobility.
I'm good at changing tires.
Yeah, so am I.
Changing a tire is something everyone has to learn yeah. when they get their driver's license. That should be part of the driver's ed test. Like, I uh-huh. needed to change a tire 10 times more than I've ever needed to parallel park.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Really?
I've had to change a lot of tires in
10,
my day.
You've had 10 flat tires and you've never parallel parked 10 times?
I no. Wow, I think that, you just made up a number.
I was concerned for more. A little bit. because
Well, you said 10 times more. That yeah. I was doing it by interval.
Yeah, so it, you would have to have had...
Exaggerated.
You'd have had to have had one parallel parking situation
for every 10 flat,
every 10
tires.
Flat tires.
I've had like 3 or 4 flat tires.
So you've
and I've
parallel
probably
parked 0 times.
Like once.
Yeah, 0.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you've four.
I've lived in a city, so I haven't needed a car for.
Is
like
math
six
in the
six
yes, that's shit true. You should know but, class?
No, that's
now.
A different.
You
class.
Might need to change tires though.
Guys, sometimes people exaggerate. That should be in the class too.
Oh, really?
What, exaggeration?
Not exaggerate. An exaggeration.
I was very concerned for a short period of time because my wife went on at the time she was my girlfriend, but she went on like this streak of like. Every 2 weeks, there was a nail in her tire that I'd have to like meet her and help her go change. And I was like, are you driving through like construction sites? Like, where are we going that we keep puncturing these tires? Because like, how does this keep happening? It seems like we've gone beyond the point of bad luck at this point.
At one point, my boyfriend's car got like 3 flat tires in one summer. Sometimes I just think you just have a bad luck streak with your car.
Tires yeah. among the least... rewarding purchases,
yeah,
because
oh,
you
so
see, you,
such it's, a sad
so purchase. So you walk into like the tire center and you see new tires, like wow, this tire looks so nice. I can't wait to like look at my car and it's that way. And then when I recently had my tires change, and so I go and show up, and they had done one lap around the Costco parking lot,
like, huh.
And then you look at your tire and go, that's not what I bought. There's like some shit on it.
I'm with
this
you.
This isn't a satisfying purchase.
On it.
I recently had my tires changed too, and when I got wow. there, the guy that changed the tire said, we are 2 days away from these things just completely shredding apart these tires in such bad shape. Like, it's a miracle you got here, right? And then I was looking at the tires the next day, and I'm like, did they put used tires on this car? Like, I don't know that
don't
these
look
tires are new.
Different.
That's the secret, yeah. by the way. Sorry to spoil it. That's the secret. You get used, very slight, loved on tires. And they're much less expensive.
That's true.
Huh. Just a little nugget for you guys.
Where do you procure slightly used tires?
I'll let you guys know.
You pretty need cool. to know someone.
I'll talk to Feldman. I'll see if they can spot.
I used to know a place that did it, and then they moved way far south. Like, they used
Miller
to be
tire?
A couple blocks from my house.
Miller Tire.
Miller Tire?
No. It was this place next to Wee Wee Transmission.
Oh, Wee Wee's the best. If you need a transmission fix, go to Wee Wee.
Yeah, shout out to Wee Wee Transmission. Yeah.
Hey, don't
follow. I think it's his family. Oh, can you hear that? Sorry.
Oh, guess what, guys?
Wow, are we getting in the weeds? The fact that I know who you're talking about is the funniest thing. There's 20 people that know who that is.
It's a great show.
A lot of people know Wee Wee.
Yeah, a lot of people know Wee Wee.
Juju.
Oh, yeah, but me and Tony are going live. Oh, last night. We are going live last night. So, third
okay,
quarter.
So, yeah, maybe don't log on to our YouTube channel last night.
If you know, you know.
Any MMA hangouts coming up or?
July 2nd, yeah. A huge 276.
Ooh.
Very exciting.
What's Israel on 276?
Israel Adesanya is fighting Jared Cannonier, and then we've got Alexander Volkanovski versus. Max Blessed Holloway repping Hawaii.
I look forward to you informing me of who those people are.
Yep.
All right, I think that officially means we're into the plug section of the podcast.
Yeah.
That'll do it for another episode of Mystery Crate. Be sure to check out all the podcasts. God, it's a shame that Chris Cody's not here. mock me 100 times by now. Billy, what's going on in your network of work? Have you tracked down Stugatz to get a stupidity done? Or
we did. We did a stupidity to preview game one of the Stanley Cup final, which if you listen to now, you kind of know what happened. So, I mean, you can check it out, but it'll be dated. And, ooh, Roy joined us in that, too. We talked to the guys from Missing Curfew, and Roy proved himself as being the Metalark hockey expert that he is, because they at one point said, oh, wow, you guys really do know what you're talking about. And it was just because of Roy's questions.
Roy's bona fides being established as a hockey guy. Roy, what's on Montgomery & Company this week?
We have Shantae Wayans. She's in the Wayans family. As you know, that is a very funny comedic family. She's going to describe what it's like to be in that family.
Check out Montgomery & Company on the Levitard & Friends Podcast Network. Jessica Smetana, Off the Looking Glass.
this week we had Carly Lloyd on the show.
Ooh.
World Cup champion. And we also did an extra extra on the NWFL, which was a professional women's football league in the 70s and 80s. So check that out.
American football or association football?
American football. Mm. Gridiron football. Also on Golic and Smitty this week, we had Trey Mancini join us to talk about Notre Dame baseball, the Orioles, and the funky baseballs this season in MLB. So check that
baseballs.
Out.
Baseballs. Oh. Tony.
Also on DNF, we had the
I only teed you up on one. There's a race this weekend, right?
Talking about Because Miami?
The Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal.
You want to talk about Because Miami as well?
Yeah, Because Miami. Juju, you sound like you want to get in there.
Oh, yeah. I just want to salute all the big dogs out there. I see you, Stateside. I see you, Stu Pop. I see you, Pamela Lace. I see you, Steve Arduini. I see you, Kat. I see you, Morgan from Australia. Yeah, I see you, Meredith Lace. Keep kicking they behind on that lacrosse field. Let's go. We here.
Big dogs.
Go, go, Lower Rangers.
Tony, anything on the YouTube channel?
Just check it out. Give it some love. Lewis and
great plug.
Yeah, Lewis and I and everybody that works on it puts a lot of effort into it. Just show it some love. Watch all the videos a trillion times.
Right. Juju, I have a question for you before we go.
Ooh.
Do you know what? Whatever happened to David from Toronto? We haven't heard from David in Toronto in years.
To David from Toronto. Yeah, man. Reach out to us, David.
Yeah, we miss you.
My music support. You know what I mean?
Should we convene an episode of Lauer After Hours here on Mystery Crate and get all the longtime listeners on?
No.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Nah,
Tony.
It'd be awesome.
Okay.
Wow. To the Lauer Rangers. I got y'all back, man. We're going to pull up on us.
Same.
Billy, yeah. Tony buried the lead on the
all
plug.
All the haters
for
are in absolute shambles, by the way.
The plug for the YouTube channel was an absolute shocker from Tony. There's a massive piece of content available on our YouTube channel. Tony, tell us.
The haters are in shambles at the moment. The Ricky Weed Farm video is out.
Wow.
Really? Oh, man. I need to go check it out.
I did not see that one coming. I didn't see that one coming.
Fuck you to everybody. Right up your...
Good job.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Haters still in shambles. Sorry, guys.
See you next week.
Roy, do the thing.
Boom, 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 boom.
Okay,
I'm singing with Choo Choo.
Oh, come on, man.
No,
I'm
wrong.
No,
good.
I get high, I get high, I get high. I get high on your memory.
Okay, goodbye.
Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you barbecue Texas style or just celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling, so you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. This is Mike Fuentes here, and let me tell you, there's nothing like grilling. I'm not really a smoke guy. Smoking requires a lot more equipment, a lot more time to do it right. Will I go down to the local barbecue spot every now and then and pick up some brisket? Yeah, I'm not an animal. Get a little charcoal at the house, grill it up, the boys come over, you do whatever you can to beat the heat living down here in South Florida. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality. It tastes as great as your barbecue. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The light beer with the most taste. Less filling and only 96 calories. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling just doesn't taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.